Today we have return guest Rebecca Sturgeon, who also featured in episode 186 of this podcast, where she spoke about guerrilla prescribing. Now, if you have no idea what that is, you're going to have to listen to that episode to find out. Today, though, she is going to be sharing something really special with us. She's going to be telling us about the life of Alvia Berry, who is a homeopath in South Africa that passed away last year in August at the age of 94, and all the incredible work she did in the townships in Africa. So enjoy this beautiful storytelling that Rebecca will be sharing with us today. And if you want to book a consultation with Rebecca, who will be in London in the near few months, you can just check out the show notes for her email. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, homies, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangout. Today, we get to hang out with a super fun return guest, Rebecca Sturgeon, who also featured in episode 186, and she's in South Africa. Welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thank you very much, Eugenie. Thank you for asking me back on again.
It's so good to have you on. And anybody who wants to know how you were introduced to homeopathy and your story, they'll have to go on to episode 186. It's called Guerrilla Prescribing. And there, you're such a fantastic storyteller. And there were some amazing, incredible stories on there. So if you haven't listened to that episode, go and check it out. But today we're going to be talking about a very special person who you were fortunate enough to be part of their life. And I don't know how many people around the world would have heard about her, but I'm going to leave the floor to you, Rebecca. I want you to introduce us to this beautiful person who unfortunately passed away at the end of last year. Hey,
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
So tell us about who she is and tell us about her story.
So I'm going to tell you about Alvia Berry. She was born in 1928. And as you said, lots of people have actually worked with Alvia. I'm a lucky one as well to have worked with Alvia. She mentored many people, and I don't believe that I have any more information than anyone else, but maybe they do. But I just want to use a disclaimer. So what happened, Eugenie, was before she died, I said to her, Alvia, please let me take your homeopathic story. People will be fascinated with this. And she was always reluctant to say anything. So over the course of about 2 years before she died, every time I visited her, I would ask her questions. And so this is the story that I got out of her quite reluctantly, but eventually I did. Aww. So I'm going to just do it as a timeline of her life. So Alvia Berry is a homeopath, obviously, and that's why we're talking about her, but she's a lay homeopath. And she has quite a remarkable story. So as a child, her mother was a severe asthmatic. Alvia describes her family as very poor in South Africa. Her mother had severe asthma, and Alvia would spend, as a child, her time on her knees praying to God. God would give her mother's asthma, and so her mother would stop suffering. And Alvia's father had been told not to pander to her mother because it's not a good idea for asthmatics. So her father would ignore the mother's severe illness, and Alvia was sort of, like I say, on her knees praying. And she believes that is her beginnings to wanting to help, her desire to help, and also her rather profound spiritual connection that carried her through her life, and she hugely leaned into, if you like. Her mother died at around 50 years of age, and Alvia always said it was from the drugs, not from asthma. And she is adamant that asthma cannot kill. It's the drugs that kill. Mm. So she was quite an unusual little girl, as we can hear. She received a scholarship when she was 17, 18 years old and began to fly. And she was also a dental assistant, and she would do bush flying into rural areas and pull people's teeth and help them with their dental issues. And so she was doing that for about 10 years, and she was unmarried at that time, and she thought she would never get married. Yeah. And then she met her husband, Alex. Now, Alex went on to be the CEO of Unilever. So when she met him, he was already quite high up in Unilever. He was the CEO of Unilever for the Southern Hemisphere of the world. So he was quite a man, I would imagine. I never met him. And they went on to have three children. And about the age of 35, 37 years old, she meets Narayani, Norma Harman, in Durban, South Africa. And in a pharmacy, and her interest in homeopathy begins. But because of her husband not liking anything that's unconventional and her not liking anything that's allopathic, they were sort of at odds all the time around what to give. So she didn't really pursue homeopathy very much at that time. And then when her son is about 3 years old, they are going to the UK. They're going to the UK for Christmas. And after Christmas and a trip to Austria to go skiing, Alex is going to go to America for 3 months to Unilever to study. And she's going to go back to South Africa with the three children. They get to England and it's cold and it's wet. And her three-year-old son, Guy, who is a homeopath too, now is wheezing and struggling with breath. He's got severe asthma. And they go to, I think it's the Natural History Museum. And she says to Alex, you go with the other two boys. I'll stay here with Guy because he can't go round. He just has no energy. So she sat there on this seat in the Natural History Museum. She just prayed, like, what can I do for my son? I don't want to give him the drugs. That's what's killed my mother. All the things us mothers will do. And she suddenly thought to herself, I'm going to ask Alex for a present. And I'm going to ask him if he will take our son to a homeopath here in the UK. And if he says, if he does that and it doesn't help, then I will never pursue it again. Mm. So she said, Alex, I know what I want for my Christmas present. And he said, what do you want? He was thinking she wanted a mink coat or something, which, yeah, as she said at the time, wasn't her style. So she said to him, will you take Guy to the homeopathic hospital in London? And if it doesn't work, I will never ask again. And Alex said yes.
Wow.
Unfortunately, the homeopathic pediatrician, Dr. Frobisher, was fully booked at that time, and they could only go to see him privately. So Alex, on his own, which Elvia was very nervous about, took Guy to Wimpole Street to see Dr. Frobisher.
Wow.
And Elvia said, she was like nail-biting, thinking, you know, it's the dad. He doesn't know anything. He's never around the child, knowing the questions that a homeopath might ask. But anyway, that was the deal. So he comes back with their son, and the remedies appear the next day, and they leave for Austria to go on a skiing holiday. She immediately starts with the remedies with Guy, and Guy is rolling in the snow and skiing with ruddy cheeks. You know, totally, 100% different child.
Amazing.
She can't believe it. Alex doesn't say much about it. But when they land back in the UK, she goes straight back to Dr. Frobisher and says, you know, this is a miracle, my son, my blah, blah, blah. And Dr. Frobisher says to her, it will come back. It will come back. That's what I would expect. It will come back lessened and lessened and lessened. But you do need a homeopath in South Africa. Mm. Excuse me, I've got a horrible cough at the moment.
It's okay. That's what the editor is for. I'm just thinking, was Phobos...
Thank you, editor. I love you. Yeah. Sorry.
Was Phobister ever the one of the queens? Was he ever physician to the queen?
I believe he was. Yes, exactly.
He was, exactly. Yeah.
So she gets into his office and he pulls out this book. He's trying to find this homeopath for her in South Africa. And he looks in this enormous telephone directory. I'm sure everyone remembers those, or I hope they do. And there was this enormous telephone directory of homeopaths around the world. And there were three in South Africa and none of them anywhere near her. So Frobisher looks at her and says, my girl, you're going to have to do this yourself. And Elvia said she could hear bells ringing. It sort of makes me want to cry. Oh. And God slapping her on the back and saying, go for it, girl. That's my answer to you. She's always wanted to help. And here it was. So Frobisher gave her some books and gave her some tips. And off she went back to South Africa and Alex back over to the United States of America. 3 months later, so as she lands back in South Africa, everybody says to her, what's happened to your son? What's going on? I want to, can you treat? Can you do? So she started treating people straight away.
Wow.
3 months when Alex comes back, she picks him up from the airport and she says to him, if there are cars in the driveway, they're my patients.
Wow.
And that was the only conversation they ever had in probably 35 years till he died around her being a homeopath.
Oh my gosh. Was this, because I think when I interviewed you last, you mentioned something about Frobisher giving her a radionics machine as well, right?
Yeah, I'm going to get to that.
Okay, yes. Sorry, I'm jumping the gun. Sorry.
No, darling, it's totally fine. It's such a weaved story. Elvia's life is such a weave. It's so beautiful. So she takes over. She becomes a locum for Norma Harman, Narayani, when Narayani goes to India. She's, you know, she's getting involved. They then have to relocate to Argentina for Alex's work. And because of her connection to Frobisher, he got her in to the Spanish homeopathic lectures. And I apologize in profusely for not being able to say these names correctly in advance. Cande Garbe, Marley Elizalde, yes, and Peshiro. She went to their lectures and she didn't speak Spanish. So she'd go to all of these lectures with a Spanish dictionary, a burica, and her notebook. And none of the homeopathic doctors wanted her in the lectures because she was a lay person, but because of Frobisher, she was in. So that was really remarkable. She said those lectures were just astounding. She was totally blown away. So then she was now, the story goes on, and to exactly what you were talking about, the radionics machines. She's trying in Argentina to find a good pharmacy, and she's told the pharmacists, the homeopathic pharmacies aren't great. There's one, but it's miles away. She's also struggling in South Africa with pharmacies. So again, on a visit to the UK, she goes to see Frobisher. And she says, these are my problems. You give a prescription that you think is going to work. And I don't know whether it's the prescription or the medicines. I don't know if I trust the medicines. So Frobisher said to her, I am experimenting with a machine currently for somebody I know called Malcolm Ray, who is a total recluse. You'll be lucky if you see him, but this is his address. So in that respect, Frobisher was testing radionics machines, but he was doing it privately or secretly, or I'm not quite sure what word to use. So he didn't want everyone to know that he was trying them out. A lot of people, as we know, don't have a lot of faith in radionics, but I was actually taught on them as well. So I had no qualms ever working with radionics with Elvia. Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to the story. So she goes to this place above, I think it was an electrical shop in some street in London, finds Malcolm Ray's secretary and immediately connects with her. And the secretary says, look, I'll see if I can get him to come. I'll see what I can do. So she goes in and talks to Malcolm Ray and then opens the door and says, he'll see you. So again, Frobisher opened another door for Elvia. And then she goes in and she talks to Malcolm Ray and she gets 2,000 cards for him and the radionics machines, goes back to South Africa, starts using them, great success. And they have this lifelong relationship, her and Malcolm Ray. And he actually made for the Mission School of Medicine, which was the volunteer work that Elvia did for a number of years, and I also was involved in with her. Mm. He made a well the size of a bucket so that we could make up to 100 remedies at a time because we were making so many for the students in Africa. Anyway, I'm jumping the gun. But we had a number of wells that we used, but that was enormous. It's a beautiful well.
When you say wells, what do you mean?
So when you're making radionics remedies, you put the blanks with the bottle into a well, a hole, basically.
Okay, gotcha.
So we needed an enormous one to do all the remedies we were doing for the students in Africa.
Okay. Because my machine has got an extension plate. So you kind of attach the extension plate and then you can put all the extra bottles on that extension plate.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, but I see what you're saying. So the well was really large, so you could put several bottles in there and actually transmit that into like 10 or 20 bottles at the same time.
Yep.
Okay, amazing.
Exactly. Amazing. Yeah. But that is also a bit further on in the story as well.
Oh, no. Okay. So, I'll be quiet now.
I know. Honestly, her life story is something remarkable. And I'm giving you the headlines. There's a whole bunch that I'm not giving you as well that will be in Clever H Mag in October. So she's back in South Africa. I have no idea of timings now. We never really got to that. It was right at the beginning that I had some sense of timing. And she has a very wealthy South African patient who is also a lay homeopath, but she doesn't think he practices. He dies, and the daughters come to her and say, Elvia, would you go through my father's book collection, a lot of homeopathic books, and we really don't know who's who in the zoo. And so Elvia takes Guy with her son, who's also a homeopath by now. Two of her sons are homeopaths, actually. Oh, and they go to his house.
Do you know where they studied? Like, do they study in South Africa in the end or in?
No, UK, both UK.
London, okay. Amazing, wow.
Yeah. And they go through this incredible first editions, Clark's books, signed by Clark, Burnett, I mean, you name it. All in this book collection. He was basically buying rare, extremely valuable homeopathic books. And so she put them in and she said it was a nightmare. You know, you can imagine, like they don't know what these are. I could really play it in my favor here, but obviously she didn't. Mm. She put all the rare and, you know, and explained to them what they were, and all the other ones her and Guy took and then distributed amongst the homeopathic community. Mm. However long later it was, one of the daughters turns up at Elvia's house with a sheath of papers and says, we found this in Dad's safe and we've got no idea what it is, and we're wondering if you do. And Elvia looked at this 300 plus pages in this woman's hand, old pages, and said, I'll see what I can do. And she just felt that it was something very important. And so she thought it was German. So she went to see a German friend of hers, and her friend said, no, this is old German. I can't translate this for you. And when Elvia got home, she said above her head was the book Chronic Diseases by Samuel Hahnemann, as we all know and love. And she reached up for it and realized that what she held in her hands was the first, let me get this exactly right, part of Chronic Diseases. There's three parts. She had the first part in her hands, handwritten in old English by Samuel Hahnemann.
Old German, yeah. Wow.
Old German in her hands. She was so shocked. She was so blown away. Elvia never swore, but she did at that point. She was like, shit. She couldn't believe what had been presented to her. I mean, she's always said she felt she was in some, I mean, I'm using my language now, but some sort of slipstream because of Frobisher and Malcolm Ray, and now these papers in her hands. And she had a box made for them and put them in the corner of the room. And she said every night she went to bed, she'd see this box and it was like a fire in the corner of her room. Mm. And she knew she shouldn't have it. She knew the whole time, the whole 12 years. And she took it to England and she took it around and she took it to the Durban College. And nobody really wanted to talk to her because she's a lay in South Africa. Nobody really wanted to talk to her because she was a lay practitioner. And eventually she decided, in fact, Alex said to her, he said to her, you know, that's not meant to be yours. And she said, I know. And then she took it to Stuttgart, the homeopathic museum in Stuttgart, and where it is today.
Wow.
And where it is, a temperature controlled room. And it's the only writing of Samuel Hahnemann's they've ever found. Mm. And it came to Elvia in South Africa.
Wow. That's
unbelievable.
That book could tell a story, hey, of its travels.
Yeah, all its travels. She said he uses a massive S as his signature. And she actually got some of the pages photocopied, or all of them, I think she said, and gave them to the Stuttgart Museum as well. She wanted to keep some back, but because of like giving this precious away, she gave them everything.
I quickly want to jump in there. I heard an interesting thing about Hahnemann, because Hahn is actually means rooster. So that apparently signature as well, he would sometimes draw a rooster and then a mun.
Like, oh my word.
Mun after that, like rooster and then mun.
Oh, wow.
Han. I mean, you might know the word as well, because in Afrikaans we say Han for rooster, and Hahnemann, it's rooster as well. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, apparently had a bit of a sense of humor there. So it's funny that you said that the S was so huge, because I have read the story about him doing that with his surname as well, with a rooster and then mun next to it.
How funny.
Yeah.
Well, also apparently in the Stuttgart Museum, there's also his tobacco pouch, his pipe. You know what I mean? It's like, okay. So life goes on for Elvia, and Alex dies. I think he dies in 2009. And from that moment on, she said to me, her wings were opened. She could fly, homeopathically so. Her married life to Alex, as you can imagine, with being the CEO of Unilever, she described it as a multitude of dinners and entertaining and cooking. You know, it was constant for her when he was around. And she couldn't practice homeopathy freely. So she, as she said, as her life always did, a remarkable thing happened to her. She was asked to talk to 25 to 30 African bishops and pastors in the Anglican Church in Hermanus, where she lived, about homeopathy, which she duly did. And then they asked her if she wouldn't train them, which she duly did, in Hermanus, South Africa. She was found out by the authorities, and she was threatened with imprisonment or a heavy fine. So from that moment on, and up until lockdown, basically, Elvia traveled into Africa, teaching approximately 30 bishops and pastors every time she went to Africa. They were sourced through the churches, for the bishops and pastors would decide who they thought in their congregation would be a good person to be a homeopath. And in the end, it was actually just mainly bishops and pastors that she taught. She gave everything freely. She's such a remarkable woman. She paid for all their transport and for their accommodation, so we could gather all the students to one place. She then gave them all their remedies and a book that we taught from. Mm. It was a very simple teachings, and we taught really quite complicated things, chronic things as well, HIV, things probably in Europe you're not allowed to do, so I'm not going to run into them here.
Mm.
And there were quite a few mixes, cholera mixes and other things that she made up, because there's a lot of waterborne diseases here and diarrheas here. And so we really focused, whenever we interviewed the students, we asked them, what's going on in your area? So we would focus our teaching specific to their area. Mm. So some people have malaria, some people don't, some parts of Africa do something. So we had to really tailor it for each area. Wherever we got to, the bishops and the pastors would have about 30, 40 people ready for us. And we would teach in a little church hall, basically, always dark, no electricity, broken windows, no chairs, that sort of story. We'd stay in the most humblest of accommodations. It was never, we were there to teach. That was the plan. And it was always, the few times I went with her, it is the most remarkable experience. But her whole thrust to do this was she discovered the Mission School of Medicine in the UK, which they gave all missionaries a 3-month training in homeopathy before they went out into the field. She thought this was a remarkable thing to do for lay people, because she was a lay practitioner and had gone through a lot of hoops because of it, but also had been so rewarded. She knew that there was such a place for lay practice. And she always said, if I can do it, anyone can do it. And that's how she fundamentally believed it. So she knew the bishops and pastors could pick it up. So she basically, her underlying motivation to do all of this, inspired through the Mission School of Medicine, was to prove that homeopathy works in the world beyond all reasonable doubt. That's always been her mission. That still is her mission. That is still the mission of the Mission School of Medicine.
So that's still going. The mission school's still going.
It is. Elvia left some money for the Mission School of Medicine, which obviously won't last very long. Basically, what it looks like that we can do is just pay for registration for them for a few years, and then that will fall away. So we're trying to find solutions. Guy and I work with the bishops and pastors, not daily, but weekly. But we've been doing that for a few years. But Elvia used to run it more. Now we've taken it over, and we, you know, we're just going to do our best, basically.
Amazing.
I mean, there's so many students out there, Eugenie. We don't even know how many students are out there now. We haven't got a flipping clue. She trained so many, and she also would say to each student, you practice for a year and then you train someone.
Wow.
So we don't know how far it's gone. We do not know how far wide it is. We don't really know even how to get reporting. We try to get reporting because, of course, that's the proof. But as you know, a lot of people don't even have access to internet. So, yeah, they can't even report to us. And how they report is often like 57 cholera, yeah, 8 cancer. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, great. What remedies, by the way?
Yeah.
So it's quite difficult to collate the information.
And so Guy is one, you said two of the sons are homeopaths. So are they practicing in South Africa? And I mean, she was in her 90s when she passed, right? So they must be in their 60s or so.
Yeah, Guy just turned 60. Elvia died at 94. I must tell you this story.
Yes.
She'd been unwell for a while. I'd been to see her a couple of times, and then it got to be like only family. And I phoned one night and I just said, please just send her my love. The next morning, apparently they were like, you have to go to the doctor. We're not doing, you got to go to the doctor now, Elvia, go to the doctor. And she's like, okay, all right. So she put this off for months, basically. She never wanted to go to doctors. But she's like, okay, I'll go. They got her dressed. She went into her living room. She said, I feel a bit funny. She sat down. She took two breaths and she was dead.
Oh.
What a blessing.
Wow. I mean, yeah. That's just so poetic for somebody that did so much for so many and lived to be 94. Yeah. And that was the way that she passed, that it couldn't have been more perfect. Like, what a life lived in service and in flow and in just that divine flow, that when you are living your soul's purpose, everything aligns. And that is just absolutely incredible. And was it the end of last year, has the end of 2022 that you passed?
It was August the 11th, 2022. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
No, and we only met because both of us volunteering away, not knowing each other. And when I got threatened with deportment for practicing, that's how I got to meet her, because a patient sent my email to her.
Oh, wow.
And so we sort of collided, but thank goodness, you know, I mean, amazing, the silver lining. And so, I mean, Elvia was volunteering in townships for years as well, obviously before I got here. And so we immediately connected because we were already in that outlook of working in that way. So like I said, I'm giving you the headlines of Elvia's life.
Wow.
There's an enormous amount of other information in the article I wrote. I don't have it all. I wish I did. I wish I could have spoken to her forever and ever and ever. She was such a mine of information and such a lady. But she would disarm anyone. She was tiny. She was diminutive. But you looked into those blue eyes and you couldn't say no.
Absolutely incredible.
She once told me, she said, Rebecca, if you don't immediately go into Africa, the whole Mission School of Medicine is going to collapse.
Aww.
I was like, okay, thanks, Elvia.
Incredible, incredible. Now, you said that you were going to write a book as well, but you started off with an article coming out in Clever Homeopathy magazine in October. Yes. But then hopefully you do end up writing a book as well.
Well, let's see.
Now, you mentioned about Hermanus before. And for anybody who doesn't know Hermanus in South Africa, it's just one of the most beautiful seaside towns. And they have the best markets. I remember as a little girl going to the markets there when we went there on holidays. And a certain time of year, you can watch the whales there. It's just such a beautiful town. So how lucky for you to have... You went to visit there, or did you live there for a while as well?
No, that's where Elvia lived. I would go there every month for a week. Yeah, it was remarkable.
But now you live in this really cool as off-grid community, right? In Cape Town. Was it Nysa?
It's, Yeah, it's near Knysna. It's near Knysna.
Oh, it's Wilderness. It was a wilderness, you said, hey?
Wilderness, yeah.
Oh, my sister-in-law sent me photos of them going there on holiday. It looks incredible.
It's beautiful. Well, you know, South Africa is beautiful.
It is beautiful. And then you're going from off-grid Cape Town to back to the UK. Or are you going back and forth, or are you moving back there for good now? Or what's happening there?
So I have been given an opportunity to be able to go back there with ease. It's quite tricky going back to England in a way for me. I've been here for 21 years. And so it feels like I'm stepping out. And it's been interesting to me, Urshini, that I've even done interviews and talked about the things that I've been up to, because I have felt quite hidden in the 21 years I've been here. So, yes, I'm going to be moving to Bath. I will still keep my connection to South Africa because it's very dear to me. And I'll be coming back here a couple of times a year, I feel. And yeah, but I'll be predominantly in Bath for the foreseeable future. And then, yeah, it's quite exciting. I'm hoping to get a position at Neil's Yard in Bath and be their homeopath, which would be a real honour. And also be more involved in different things in England, which with other homeopaths. I mean, it's a bit nerve-wracking, Urshini, because I've been working in townships predominantly for 21 years, and now I'm going to go into first world, lots of rules.
Yeah,
I just hope I don't make a total mess. So I'm hoping to know what I can and can't say really in advance, because, yeah, I'm out of the loop. I'm really out of the loop.
Yeah, that's one thing my husband often says he probably misses the most about Africa, is that there's just like jungle rules there. Like anything goes.
Honestly.
And
we love the Wild West. We love it.
We get really frustrated sometimes over here with all the rules and regulations, and you need a bloody permit for everything. And yeah, it's going to be a culture shock for you, that's for sure. So you'll still be seeing private clients. So if any of our listeners want to book a session with you, they can just contact you through the email address in the show notes.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Because of lecturing about the dangers of Wi-Fi and social media, addiction to social media, I have no social media. I now no longer have a web page. I'm so old school. I love it.
Well, it really is the way to go. My heart breaks every day in clinic when I see these little kiddies on their iPads, and you just know that 90% of their ADHD behavioral disorders and their health complaints because they are just plugged into technology so much, and in the schools as well. It just makes me sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But let's not finish off on that. Let's finish off on a positive note. What do you feel is some of the of your highlights? If you think of your 20 plus years in South Africa, leave us with a couple of highlights of what that's been like for you living and working in South Africa, like some of the good memories that you'll be taking back with you to England.
Walking around a South African township and people shouting at me out of their doors, Sissy Reeves! Sissy Reeves!
Aww.
I used to love that. Everyone knew me as Sissy Reeves. And as you know, that's Sister Rebecca, basically. And I suppose there's so many beautiful things about South Africa. I mean, it's but meeting Elvia, it has been one of the most profound experiences of my life. She took me under her wing when I was on my knees, and she said, right, you're going to be with me now. And we just went for it. It was such an honor to be around her every month for a week. I'd go there, and all we would do is eat, breathe, smell, touch, taste homeopathy. She had a cook. I never had to cook. I never had to wash. That's all we did. And it was bliss. I've been working so much on my own in townships, just on my own, under the radar, that to have someone like that walk into my life was just from heaven.
It really struck me when you said that the two of you got in touch because of you being threatened with legal action as well. And I just have to think this of all the times in my life where something devastating has happened and the beauty that has arisen out of that. And sometimes when you're right, like you never could have known. I can just imagine those people trying to deport you for practicing without a license or whatever. And I can just imagine it would have gone through your head. Oh my gosh, you know, my life's destroyed. What now? And then the shining light coming into your life, because that is so often what happens in our lives, right? Like Our biggest lows can turn into some of our most incredible blessings in our life.
I must say, when I got that email to say desist, basically, actually couldn't think for about 2 days. I couldn't think straight because I'm so passionate about homeopathy and I've been working in townships. I was under the radar, but I was giving and I was doing the thing I could do best. And suddenly I'm in this place where I can't do it at all. And I couldn't breathe. I couldn't think. And then I just had to like wade through this weird sensation of, if I'm not a homeopath, if I'm not doing homeopathy, what am I doing here in this life? I mean, literally like those sort of thoughts. And then about a month later, I get this email from Elvia and like, wow, okay. This is okay. We've got a plan. So yeah, it was remarkable, remarkable.
Well, Rebecca, it's really lovely to chat with you. I really hope I get to meet you in person at the conference in Bali in September next year.
Yes, exactly.
There's going to be a few people coming from the UK that have said that they're coming. Two of our organisers are from the UK as well. So I hope you can all hop on a flight together and come over there because there's going to be some really cool stories being told under the banyan tree at the end of the night, I think.
Making it sound very romantic, Urshani. We'll all be there under the banyan tree.
It is. Well, we are going to be every night. We're going to have dinner under the banyan tree. And every morning we're going to do yoga under the banyan tree. So, yes, it's going to be very, very fun. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing Alvia's story. It's really so inspiring and so uplifting and just beautiful to hear her story. And so few people around the world would know about her outside of South Africa, probably. So I think this is going to be really beautiful for our listeners around the world to listen to. So thank you for coming on and sharing that.
My absolute total pleasure. And thank you, Elvia, for bringing your light into the world.
Well, speak with you soon.
Thanks, love.